Welcome to the Natural Allergy Treatment Podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and at Health and Wellness Australia and New Zealand, we have a team of naturopaths all over who specialise in a natural allergy treatment called Positive Association Technique. And joining me today is our Melbourne naturopath NPAT practitioner, Lila DiQuinzio. Hi, Lila.
Hey, Jess. Thanks for having me.
So in this episode, Lila's going to talk us through the connection between histamine and our mental health, in particular in relation to anxiety. And Lila, you've been providing positive association technique to our Melbourne-based clients for a number of years now, and it's actually your second time joining me on the podcast. So to start us off today, could you share a bit about how you got into naturopathy and specializing in gut health and mental health in your private practice?
I have always been interested in naturopathy since high school, really, when my parents used to take me, well, we all used to visit the family naturopath, and I was always so curious about the way that they approached things that was different to the medical system and all the different remedies that they would use. And then as I progressed through my career as a general naturopath, just kind of treating everything, I realized how much of an enormous impact both the nervous system and the gut were having on the rest of the body. Like, you know, you can feel that when you're stressed and you get the butterflies in your tummy or loose stool.
Yeah.
And you can feel that connection. And it was just sort of coming up everywhere in all of my patients. Obviously, we learned it at uni, but seeing how much that was impacting everyone is really what sort of made me decide to pursue that as an area of interest. Just, it was fascinating to me.
Yeah. And we see lots of PAT clients who struggle with anxiety symptoms as part of their symptom picture. So I'm really looking forward to having you break this down for us, this histamine anxiety connection. So yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, cool. Okay. So I think most people kind of know of histamine because of antihistamines. So everyone who sort of gets like hay fever or hives or a bit itchy when they eat certain foods, they're reaching for the antihistamines to help control that itching, swelling, redness, the mucus production that can often get triggered by some of those things that we're often aware of, like pollen, dust, cats, certain foods. So most of the time we're thinking of histamine for its immune activation because it's really the one that raises that red flag when there's a perceived threat, and it's calling for that inflammatory response to help the body to deal with the threat. But histamine is actually a lot more than that. So what most people don't realize is that there are actually four different histamine receptors all around the body, creatively named H1, H2, H3, H4, which means it has a huge range of effects. It can influence stomach acid secretion, blood vessel dilation, hormone release, temperature control, helps us to know when we're full, influences our energy levels, and obviously, very interestingly, mental health as well.
Yeah, and like you said, like that inflammatory response that histamine is doing, it's trying to eliminate the allergens. So when you get mucus in your nose, it's trying to flush it out. So it kind of has that function, but it is so fascinating how many functions in the body are impacted by histamine. So how does it actually impact our mental functioning in particular?
Yeah. So a few ways. Histamine, it works as a neurotransmitter. So that's a chemical messenger that carries signals from one cell to another. And the nerve cells that make histamine, they're actually only made in this very particular part of the hypothalamus and then projected through the brain. So they're only made in the brain. But in addition to that, histamine influences the release of other neurotransmitters as well. So serotonin, dopamine, noradrenaline, GABA, which might be familiar. And then all of that means that it's involved in a lot of different nervous system functions. So learning, cognition, attention, mood regulation, memory, stress response, and alertness, which is one of histamine's biggest roles is in the sleep-wake cycle. So it stimulates alertness in line with circadian rhythms. Mm-hmm. So when we're awake, there's increased production of histamine, It's reduced when we're relaxed and then significantly less when we're sleeping. And that's why some antihistamines can make you drowsy, because they're actually blocking that histamine from attaching to the receptors that would normally make you alert. Mm-hmm. And all of that interconnection with the nervous system. Interestingly, most recently, there's been research into histamine's role in different health conditions like narcolepsy and Alzheimer's disease, Parkinson's disease, schizophrenia, and also even ADHD.
Mm. So I guess it's not a big surprise that many of our PAT clients do struggle with anxiety and sleep issues along with their other more classic allergy symptoms. And many of our listeners will have heard of the term histamine intolerance, but what kind of symptoms can this imbalance in histamine actually cause?
Yeah, it's a good question. So because we've talked about how far-reaching histamine can be, mm-hmm. you're going to notice when there's an imbalance. So histamine intolerance, it really happens when the body can't efficiently manage and clear the accumulated load of the histamine. So we accumulate histamine from these allergies that we're responding to. We have an internal production of histamine, like from the microbiome, mm-hmm. and we also ingest it through food. So if we use the bucket analogy, it's easier to explain this. So when histamine clearance isn't working well, the histamine builds up in our bucket, mm-hmm. which can then overflow into symptoms. So because the effects of histamine are so widespread, so are the symptoms. So in terms of mental health, we could experience anxiety, depression, brain fog, difficulty focusing, insomnia and fatigue, headaches, migraines, dizziness, and then gut-wise, we might experience bloating, diarrhea, reflux, nausea, cramping, and then you've got the sneezing, the sinus congestion, the even shortness of breath that can come with those respiratory responses. Skin-wise, hives are a big one. Itchy skin, flushing is a really big one as well, and rashes that pop up. And joint pain, swelling, even postural hypertension, it's really widespread. And then there's also a big connection with hormones. So histamine intolerance is more common in women because of this close relationship between estrogen and histamine, where they kind of spur each other on. So histamine triggers estrogen production, and high estrogen stimulates histamine release. Mm-hmm. So that's why heavy periods and painful periods can be part of the histamine picture. Mm-hmm. And if you've noticed some of those symptoms like headaches and insomnia and that congestion or even flushing that are more histamine related, when estrogen's peaking around ovulation or before your period, mm-hmm. then that could indicate that connection as well between histamine and estrogen.
Yeah, and I love that analogy with the bucket, how it just kind of keeps getting topped up and then eventually can cause these big flare-ups as well. So we'll talk a bit more about that later. I actually did an episode with our Sunshine Coast naturopath and PAT practitioner, Janet, where we talked all about that estrogen and histamine connection. So I'll pop a link to link in the bio to that one to anyone who wants to dive a bit deeper in there. And you mentioned that there's a few factors that can contribute to the development of this histamine intolerance. So let's go a bit deeper into those, starting with the impact of having allergies and sensitivities.
Yeah, so every time you react to an allergen, so that could be like at the moment it's spring, pollen everywhere, grasses, it could be the cat that you run into next door, it could be certain food that makes you itchy. So every time you're having those contact points with an allergen, it's triggering that release of more histamine and then building up your levels in the bucket. And at the same time, if the body's struggling to clear the histamine, that's when the bucket overflows. And then it can sometimes feel like out of nowhere. The sneezing starts, your rashes might flare or the hives pop up or your anxiety spikes and your gut symptoms worsen. And there can be inflammation as well associated with that. And then that can have this flow-on effect to other health conditions that are associated with that, like joint pain and even depression and period trouble.
Yep. And what about gut health? What role does that play in this? Because we all know that that's always a factor.
Yeah, absolutely. Gut health is always a factor. There are actually a few ways that gut health and histamine are connected. So we have certain bacteria in the microbiome that produce more histamine than others. And if you are a person who tends to have more of these strains, then you can have a higher load of histamine in your bucket coming from those histamine producing strains of bacteria in your gut. So a really good way to help with that is having a good variety of plant-based foods. Mm-hmm. If you're really histamine intolerant, you might not be able to do that at the beginning. You might need something like a low histamine diet to help control your symptoms while you work on things. So that's something to chat about with your practitioner. But in the scheme of things, our goal is always to eat a variety. So when we're eating a variety, we're feeding all of the different species of bacteria and we're helping to create sort of like an even amount of them so that one or two or three problematic species aren't allowed to overgrow. We're helping to outcrowd them by feeding all of them. So by doing that, we're keeping the strains that produce histamine at a lower level and therefore producing less histamine from the gut. So those histamine producing bacteria are the first way that the gut is connected with histamine. The second way is that DAO is made in the gut. So this is an enzyme called diamine oxidase. It's a major enzyme that's involved in breaking down the histamine that we eat. So when we're consuming high histamine foods, the DAO is released and that's helping us to process and clear it. Because the enzyme's produced in the gut lining, anything basically that affects your gut integrity can also affect your histamine clearance and therefore your overall histamine balance. So we start to think about things like IBS or SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, and those imbalances in the gut, the dysbiosis, if you've got food intolerances or recurrent infections, and even stress can affect that microbiome balance and the gut integrity, so influence your DAO production. And then the gut also makes neurotransmitters. So it's producing neurotransmitters like serotonin and GABA and dopamine. They can't all cross the blood-brain barrier, but they do act on the enteric nervous system of the gut. So that nervous system that's very much within the gut and includes the vagus nerve. So they can influence those building blocks that produce neurotransmitters in the brain, like tryptophan to make serotonin. So there's a really big connection with the gut and histamine and mental health.
And there's so much research into the vagus nerve and anxiety in particular as well. So it's fascinating that this gut connection with the vagus nerve in particular. But yeah, the gut-brain connection is just so fascinating. And it's such an important fact to consider if we are struggling with mental health issues or struggles. So what are some of the telltale signs or symptoms for our listeners to know if histamine might be an issue for them?
Yeah, so because we've talked about how histamine symptoms can kind of show up all over the body, it can sometimes be tricky to pinpoint if histamine is an issue. A really good place to start is if you feel like high histamine foods are making you feel worse. So these are foods that particularly are fermented foods, so sauerkraut, kombucha, beer, also hard cheeses, processed meats, alcohol, bone broth, citrus, chocolate, smoked or tinned meats, even avocado. So they can be really kind of random and wide and varied. But if you sort of get yourself a histamine food list and start to think about whether those particular foods are triggering you, you can also keep a diet diary that can help you make some connections, or you could try a low histamine diet for a couple of weeks and see if your symptoms improve. That could be a really big clue. It can be hard to tell without doing some of those things, because with a histamine intolerance, it can feel like you're kind of reacting to every food. And because of that bucket analogy and the accumulation aspect, your tolerance levels change and you might feel like you're fine with a food one day and then the next day you're not, because the histamine levels have accumulated and it's kind of tipped you over the edge. And that can sometimes be confusing and make it hard to find what the trigger has been. Mm. Other clues could be if it is linked with your menstrual cycle, like we were talking about with those estrogen changes and linked with your symptoms, or if antihistamines are really helpful in the short term, then that could sometimes be a sign that histamine is an issue.
Yeah. And the tolerating a food one day and then not tolerating it in the next is something I hear so much just from inquiries alone. Mm. And it makes me feel like it's almost impossible to try and pinpoint what foods you're reacting to. And I feel like this can contribute to that heightened anxiety levels. It can make you feel like your body is out of sync or not really making sense, which doesn't help if you're already feeling in that space.
Totally.
Important to note that histamine accumulates in our system. You'd like that bucket analogy that you've talked about, and we often only get that flare up in symptoms once the bucket is full. So while a person might think, okay, I had an avocado on toast, it was the avocado that set it off, it's really just that histamine in that's kind of tipped it over the edge. And I've noticed a bit of a trend online that people have been using antihistamines to try and manage some of these symptoms of anxiety and insomnia. So I just wanted to run that past you and see what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, it's a good question. So because like we talked about before, they're blocking that histamine receptor. So they're blocking that alertness and they're making you drowsy. So that's why they're working, but it's not necessarily addressing the cause. Mm. The issue can be that there are side effects to a lot of those antihistamines in that regular use. Mm. They can actually result in poor sleep quality and affect that really essential REM sleep. Mm-hmm. And you can reach a tolerance quickly where you need higher doses. They can make you feel sometimes more groggy in the morning, and then you can get even other side effects like sleepwalking or dry mouth or urinary retention. So it's not something that you want to rely on long term. And really, I mean, this is what naturopathy is all about, is looking at the cause.
Yeah.
So, and we look at the cause so that we can make some changes and have more sustainable effects, so you're not relying on taking something ongoing.
Yeah. And the other one I wanted to ask you about is anxiety after alcohol. So I know you mentioned that alcohol is a high histamine, well, a lot of alcoholic drinks are high histamine. Is that why we get that next day anxiety or hangxiety?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it could definitely be part of it. I think, like you said, it is a high histamine. Mm-hmm. And it depends, like, also sometimes when we're having alcohol, maybe we're having a cheese board and there's processed meats on there and, you know, all the histamine, you know, foods are the delicious ones, and they all add up. Alcohol is also a central nervous system depressant, so there can be some rebound from that the next day where we can have those neurotransmitter or chemical imbalances contributing to that anxiety too, but histamine could be a factor.
Be a part of it.
Yeah.
So when it comes to actually addressing the underlying causes that we talked about when it comes to histamine issues, how do you utilize positive association technique as well as your naturopathic approach to help create a better balance for your clients?
Yeah. So Pat is really great at helping to retrain that body's response to the trigger. So we're using kinesiology and the acupressure and the positive conditioning, and we're calming that reactivity so that we can help reduce that production of histamine that's contributing to the bucket. So that's a really good way to help ease the load. Mm. And then when we're using naturopathy, we're looking a little bit more about why histamine's high in the first place and exploring some of that. So like we've mentioned, it could be gut issues, it could be hormone imbalances, different genetic mutations like MTHFR can play a part as well. There can be mold exposure behind it. There could be nutrient deficiencies, and even some medications can influence your histamine levels. So then while we're looking at the cause, we're also always looking at how we can address that. Mm. And many naturopaths, you know, we have different specific kind of nutrients and even herbs that can help target that histamine production and also improve clearance of histamine. So like we could encourage DAO production to help break down the histamine. Mm-hmm. We might be using things like B6 for that, vitamin C. We could be using quercetin is a really good antihistamine and anti-inflammatory. Even nettle leaf tea. Yes. Or nettle leaf is antihistamine. Mm-hmm. We can actually give the DAO enzymes mm-hmm. with a meal to help break down the histamine. That some of these are a bit symptomatic, so mm-hmm. but we're always addressing those causes alongside, and obviously gut support is mm-hmm. non-negotiable. Yeah.
And so it's all about reducing that histamine load on the body while trying to help build up that resilience and prevent the frequency and intensity of these flare-ups. And when it comes to the anxiety itself, what are some of your at-home tips for managing anxiety?
Yeah, so with at-home tips for managing anxiety, there's actually quite a lot that you can do. It looks different for everybody. So it's something that you kind of need to play with a little bit and figure out for yourself mm-hmm. what are the things that really help that for you. It might be like we know how good mindfulness is. Mm-hmm. We know that. But you don't necessarily need to sit on a meditation cushion for an hour a day. It can look a bit different for everyone, especially if you're not used to it before. Or you haven't done it before. So you might like to experiment with things like coloring books or paint by numbers or just having a bath or simply focusing on your breathing. Mm-hmm. But even just 30 seconds can be great. Doing something like the box breathing, 4x4 mm-hmm. or 4x7x8 breathing, some of those really simple techniques. Or you could try just going for a walk and really trying to be present and focusing on your surroundings and your environment. That can be a really great one too, because it gets you into your body. Mm-hmm. So movement is another really big one in terms of anxiety management. Anything that helps you be more back in your body and not as much in your head is going to be helpful for calming your nervous system. So that walk is really great, or you might enjoy some nice yin yoga. Mm-hmm. Some people feel good if they sort of get that nervous energy out and they do more like a boxing or something like that. But it really depends on the person. So it's really about like kind of getting in touch a little bit more with your body and sensing what you need and listening to that.
And seeing what resonates for you, I guess. Like we have lots
exactly.
of options and there's much more awareness around these kind of things. So it can be a bit of what works well for one person might not work well for another. So a bit of trial and error.
Exactly, exactly right. Yeah. And then as naturopaths, we've got a lot of different supplements that we can turn to as well. So many good nutrients and herbs, and magnesium's amazing. We can use L-theanine, GABA, B vitamins are also great. Then there are some beautiful nourishing herbs like lavender and passion flower and chamomile. Carver's another really great one, but they're all really good to chat to a practitioner about. So you always want to find what's safe for you and what's right for you, because not everything suits everyone.
Yeah, and a tailored approach.
Absolutely. It's all about an individualized, tailored approach. Mm-hmm. And having that support network as well. So having a practitioner that you can also just talk to about what's going on for you, mm-hmm. Even if it's not a naturopath, maybe a psychologist could be super helpful for giving you, you know, different tools and techniques to help manage your anxiety.
Yeah.
That's always, I think, a really important thing to think about if your self-care routines don't seem to be kind of working anymore, or if your anxiety is becoming overwhelming and unmanageable, that's when you kind of know that it's good to turn to someone else, even if you just start with friends and family and being able to open up to them and chat about what's going on for you.
Yeah. And I think the key takeaway for me from this episode is that it's very validating that histamine can be a major player in anxiety, because I feel like when we get into that headspace, it can be tricky if we're not in touch with what's happening in our body. It can be very confusing and kind of play into that anxiety loop. So knowing that there is a biological factor that can contribute, because so many of us are told, oh, it's just in your head, but there really can be some imbalances going on. So thank you so much for joining me on this episode, Lila. It's been really interesting to learn about this intricate relationship between histamine and our mental health and neurotransmitters. And I think all our listeners will get a lot out of it. So I'll also put a link to Lila's private practice in the show notes for anyone who may need the support of an amazing naturopath to get their system back in balance and want to look deeper into all these factors. And Lila, do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share before we wrap things up?
Yeah, I think you made some really good points. Like sometimes we can be made to feel like it's all kind of in our head, but there can be some physiological things going on as well. So if you think, like some of this sounds like you, like some of those high histamine foods are triggers for you, or you sort of play with a low histamine diet and you do feel a lot better, then that's really a good time to chat to somebody and just know that we're always available to create that individualized plan for you and try and get to the root cause so you can feel calmer again.
Exactly. And so we have a lot of resources on our website when it comes to this. You can also send us an email to get a full list of the histamine, high histamine foods, if that's something you do want to start looking at to see if it's part of the piece of that puzzle. And to learn more about our natural allergy treatment positive association technique and see if it is right for you, you can get a copy of our free PAT information EPAC through our website as well. So that's naturalallergytreatment.com.au. And if you enjoyed this episode, you should check out Lila's episode we did earlier this year, all about sugar cravings and sugar and allergies. And that was a really fascinating one as well. So I'll pop a link to that too. And you can follow our channel and follow us on Instagram at natural.allergy.treatment. And otherwise, thanks again, Lila. I look forward to the next one.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks so much for having me.